Hello, Walk Stars. Today's episode is a little bit deeper dive into how I started my practice. It was prompted by an article I wrote for our local NPR station, WBUR, here in Boston. And it got me thinking that perhaps a little more background would be helpful. And so what you're going to hear from me is how I got started, why I started, and why I continue. And I hope you enjoy the episode.
Blind Nil Audio.
I'm Alex L.
I'm Libby Delena. Welcome
to This Morning Walk Podcast.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, Libby. How you doing?
I'm well today. It's quite blustery and cold. It's that kind of in-between season here where I am. So it's neither spring nor winter. So I will say my walk this morning felt a little tumultuous and kind of chaotic. How about you?
It's windy and cold here too. So I'll be walking on my walking pad because I'm not going out in this crazy wind to get knocked over. And it's like 20 degrees. I can't do it today.
No. I support you in that. And maybe you could have a cup of tea nearby too.
Yeah, for sure. So tell us about today's episode. I was out of town when you recorded this.
Yeah. So today's episode's a little different. What this is actually kind of a reflection for me on how I got started and what the sort of mile markers of this practice has been for me. I was lucky enough to write a piece for our local NPR station, WBUR, on this practice and having walked every day for 12 years. And so this episode is me reading that aloud and sharing with all of you a little bit more in depth on how I started and what is important in this practice for me. So it's a little different. It's sort of like a little bit longer walking journal in some ways. And we'll hear more from you about how you started in another podcast.
Before we go into that episode, curious to know what your number one mile marker is as you reflect on 12 years. Like, what is that lesson, the one that comes up the most for you?
Oh my gosh, Alex, how do you do, every single time we pause and you ask a question, it's always something that is, you're so good at that. What a great question. Let me just reflect for a minute. I mean, I've had some mile markers in the last few weeks that have been really sort of monumental, but you asked about the first, and I suppose the first for me probably came 2 or 3 years into the practice. Honestly, it didn't happen right away, which was the acknowledgement that this was not about how many steps or how many miles, that it wasn't really a workout per se. It was more of an intentional mindset and practice to get centered and grounded in my day. And I don't even think I used the language practice then, but I think what I really began to realize was this wasn't about a workout or exercise. And I may have started there a little bit, but it was that reflection and that realization, which then enabled me to deepen this practice to, I think, a much more philosophical, spiritual, thoughtful place. It's a great question.
I love that. Well, I'm excited to listen because I haven't heard it yet. And I'm really, you know, proud of you for being on this path for 12 years. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal.
Well, thank you. And I feel like certainly one of the big mile markers later in this practice has been walking with you. So thank you for joining me in this practice. And honestly, you are just one of my most glorious, gentle, kind teachers. And I just feel so lucky the universe said, hey, you two, why don't you walk this path together?
Hey, you two. You.
Yeah, right? You over there and you over there. I'm going to put you together. And here we are. So I'm grateful.
I'm grateful too. It's been It's been really beautiful, and I'm really honored to be on this path with you. So let's listen to this episode. I can't wait. So Libby, introduce your extra long walking journal. We cannot wait to hear it.
Oh, aren't you wonderful? So here we go, launching into, oh my gosh, my story, which I hope you enjoy and perhaps learn something from. And please feel free to reach out if you have any questions. We're over at This Morning Walk on Instagram and love hearing from all of you. So if you have any questions after this episode, reach out. Published on November 17th, 2023 on Cognoscenti and WBUR is I've Walked Every Day for 12 Years. One quiet and cold early November morning 12 years ago, I woke up slowly. I made a spicy chai tea, wiped the skin of frost from the window, and realized that an essential component of who I was as a kid was no longer part of who I was as an adult. As a child, I was actually quite free range, long before free range was a thing to be. I spent all day outside. I was happiest with the dirt on the bottom of my feet, my hair in a two-day-old ponytail, and cold morning air in my lungs. My connection to that natural world was instant and effortless. I understood my place in the larger ecosystem, and I felt a deep sense of belonging there. Then, like lots of adults, I lost touch with it. It wasn't an intentional decision, or even a conscious one, but at some point, being outside ceased to be a vital part of my day. My life back then was wonderful and average. I had a successful 20-year career in advertising. I was often on the road, traveling for commercial shoots and client meetings. I had a healthy family with two growing boys and a sparkly collection of friends. But during those decades, I spent most of my time indoors, in conference rooms, in meetings, on planes, in the house, in the office, in the kitchen, in cars. I was happy, but I wasn't whole. No wise or elegant words arrived to help me convey what I was feeling that November morning. All I could say was that I knew something was missing. I remember reading a quote from Georgia O'Keeffe about the reason she painted, and the gist of it was, "I don't know how to say how I feel, but I do know how to paint how I feel." That's what being outside is like for me. I couldn't be myself or know myself without nature as my teacher and my companion. But 12 years ago, there was no conversation about self-care, especially for women. As a mother, putting yourself before others was at best rebellious and at worst selfish. But if I didn't do something, I knew the part of me that was missing would be gone. So the next morning, I got up in the dark before the world had woken. I put on my shoes and went for a walk. It was a beautiful and chilly reunion with me. I promised myself that I'd get up every morning and go for 60 minutes, no matter what. That first week was wobbly, uncertain, dark, cold, and joyous. I walked with my old hiking boots, a warm coat, and one of my son's old winter hats, and yes, mismatched mittens. No headphones, cell phone turned off. The quiet was actually overwhelming, a little frightening, and very beautiful. Without any distractions, I was completely present to each step. One minute I noticed the moon setting, the next the sun rose, and the community stretched all at once in waking. The brine of the nearby ocean came to me, and the spoiled sweetness of aging apples still holding on the trees. Cold mornings filled my lungs. It was absolutely glorious. I've walked in the snow, in the rain, on bright sunny mornings, all with the wild bird song accompanying me. It's been 12 years since I made walking a promise, and I've never missed a day. Most days, it's very simple. Out my back door at 5:30 a.m., walk for an hour, and a few years ago, walking alongside one of my sons, I calculated that over the course of these many mornings, I'd traveled the circumference of the earth. After more than a decade on foot, I've seen much of it too. I've walked the great cities of the world and in the Badlands, all of which are not that bad at all. There was one walk in Hornstrandir, a remote protected nature reserve located in the West Fjords of Iceland, about 6 hours from Reykjavik, where I hiked with a group of 15 women over tundra, cliffs, and flowering fields, also with ice. I was overwhelmed by the steep cliffs, the darkness of the dark, and the brilliance of the light. My dear friend Claire cheered me on as my 61-year-old eyes or inner ear equilibrium faltered on the switchbacks with steep cliffs on one side. Bradley kept her hand on my pack, tender but steadfast in her care of me. Each step we made a promise of love to ourselves and to each other. Once, at home, I walked all night long through my community on the North Shore of Boston. I'd received some upsetting news late that evening at the office, a tectonic shift in my life and in my family's. I walked what I'd come to call the loop, 5 miles around the neighborhood and through the woods. And that night, through grief and anger and uncertainty, I asked myself after each circuit, do you want to keep going? Do you need a hot shower, a cup of tea, a call with a friend, new socks, a hug? What I needed was actually to keep walking. I walked until the morning, 13 hours in total. My walking practice held space for me, but what I came to realize was that my walking practice also had me. This walking practice is not about the number of steps or the number of miles. It's about the intention, the action, and the promise. I don't know where I'd be if I hadn't started to walk, but I wouldn't have gotten far. I hope you'll join me. We're going to take a quick break, and this Morning Walk podcast will be right back. Hey, Walk Stars. I want to turn you on to one of my favorite podcasts in the entire world. It's the 10% Happier podcast, and it has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn. And I truly believe this. So why not master it? Hosted by Dan Harris, a journalist who had a panic attack on national television and then set out on a journey of transformation. He's now on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Every week, Dan talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity in wide-ranging conversations that explore topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. The interviews cover everyone from Brené Brown to Alexander Draymond to Sam Harris. So, Walkstars, as you know, this podcast is much more than just about walking. It's the same for 10% Happier. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. Find 10% Happier wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome back to this Morning Walk podcast. I was born in 1962 in February, right before Valentine's Day in Hartford, Connecticut, to William and Alice Delana, two striking, tall, academic, adventurous parents. They often would spend their weekends up in the mountains walking and hiking, which doesn't surprise me. The other piece that I think is sort of interesting is when I was born with club feet, which meant that in order to make it so that I could walk, both my feet had to be broken and put into casts when I was about 10, 11 months old. So I actually learned to walk with two casts on. I had a bar in between my casts. So I learned how to walk in casts. So my learning to walk started with two casts on my feet. I have a picture of me sitting in a little swing with my two casts. I think I'm about 10 or 11 months old. Who knows? Maybe I'll share it with you all. I would also say that my mom and dad were very comfortable in the outdoors. We spent our weekends as a family out walking trails. That was our church, our temple, our place of coming together as a family. So I also have many pictures of my mom and dad with little backpacks and me in my tall knee socks walking through the fields and on trails. Growing up, one of my recollections, very profound recollections, is actually walking to Beach Park School every day. My school was probably about 5 blocks away, and we would walk there. First, walking with my mom and dad often, and then walking with friends. So walking was certainly how I commuted to school, was by walking. And as I got to be a teenager, one of my happiest places was literally out in our backyard, just noodling around with the local pets. And then I spent a lot of time out at a barn, and I spent a lot of time horseback riding. So I was outside with animals, just noodling around in barns with big, beautiful horses. And I think that 13-year-old time period was when I had more of a distinct memory of me being me. And it was a little wild, very free range. I had a lot of space to just go and do and be what I wanted. What I wanted to do was be outside or be at the barn or walking around someplace. So after high school, I went off to college in the western part of Massachusetts. It was a really pretty magical time. The college that I went to was single sex, all women, which was really powerful to be surrounded by, honestly, such inherent wisdom. It was also a time that I was really expressing sort of a desire to be athletic. And so I joined the rowing team in college and then went on to row during the summers as well. And the thing that was sort of unique about that was it was not long after Title IX, and it was a time when women athletes weren't really very welcome in the culture, to be perfectly honest. And as rowers, we had very, very distinctive and big muscles. And so we were sort of all at the fringes of what was sort of considered to be, you know, sort of normal for young women. But we just loved it. We loved competing. We loved being extremely fit and outdoors, which I think is part of what influenced this practice, is a sense for finding strength in the outdoors and also moving my body. So part of this walking practice, I think, is a reminder of that time when movement was, and physical expression was, a really powerful tool. So fast forward from college to early 30s, a young mother, very average life, but very grateful for that component of it. One child, starting a career in advertising. There was nothing to complain about. Everything was as I think I had hoped, that to be in a partnership, to start a family, to begin a career, I felt extraordinarily lucky. And at the same time, there was something dramatic that was missing. There was something that that I, at the time, couldn't recognize that I needed in order to be who I was. And that happened years later, and that's when I started to walk. But in those early 30 years, I think I was very committed to building a life in a way that culture had said, you know, potentially was what we all should aim for, right? Is a relationship, a family, a steady job, friends, living in a lovely community. Very grateful for all that. And it wasn't until years later that I realized that maybe one of the most essential components wasn't part of my day, wasn't part of my life. So early 30s, young kids, one child born very, very prematurely, which made, work life and combination a real challenge. I will say, though, I look back and I think if I had wanted to start my walking, if I had realized that the walking practice was so important when the kids were little, it would have looked very different, because stepping outside, you know, to take an hour for myself would have been a challenge. Yeah, I would say when our children were born, which were early, mid-90s, I think the concept of self-care and taking care of ourselves was very nascent still, very early. And the idea of taking time for myself to go and do this walk, I think at that time, for me anyway, would have felt very, very challenging. And I think those are my own limitations. I'm not sure the culture would have said that. But I didn't find a place where that mindset, that concept that we have to put on our own oxygen mask before we can begin to help anybody else, was dominant in the culture. I also think I was late to understand self-care, for better or for worse. I think the culture was way ahead of me, and it took me a long time to catch up. So yeah, I think when the boys were little, I was still very much in a mindset that the family and the children were the priority, and that my needs or wants were not on the list yet. That came later. Yeah, so my walking practice started 12 years ago when I was 50. And I think at that time, I don't remember the sort of the granularity of actually what was happening, but it was deep into my career, which I feel incredibly grateful for, because it provided a really powerful creative space to show up, which is, I'm an art director, graphic designer by trade, so it was a terrific place. I was fortunate to work with really some of the best in the best, and traveled for work, and it was really an absolutely perfect career for me in many ways. And yet, the challenge was that much of the work I was doing required being indoors. Much of parenting required being indoors. And so I hadn't built into my day, I didn't recognize that what I needed was the sun and the wind and the rain and to move my body. Even though my college times, I knew very deeply that that's what I needed. And so when I woke up that one morning, I think really just what happened was, it was a small little glimmer, a little reflection that says, my goodness, you know, I wake up, I brush my teeth, I make my bed, I make time for things that are important to me, but you're not making time for this one thing. You haven't created space in your day to make sure that you feel, you know, the sun on your face, that you're moving your body. And so it really started from a very, I would say, even mundane reflection that said, you need to carve out time for this in order to be you. You're not you unless you're doing these things. You're partially you, but unless you build that into your day, you're not whole. So I would say when I decided to go for a walk that first day, I thought to myself, I'm going to do this for 30 days. I'm going to do it for a month and see, is there an impact? Is there something that feels absolutely essential in this? And at first, I would not have called it a practice. I would have simply said, I'm going for a walk, just as some of my friends said, I'm going for a run. And to be perfectly honest, that first, it took me 2 years for my ego to calm down, because having grown up as an athlete, I really, I said a lot of really unkind things to myself in my head around the fact that I was only walking, not running. And I would say to myself, my gosh, you're an athlete. Like your whole teenage and college life was as an athlete. What do you mean you're just walking? Why aren't you out running? Why aren't you going to the gym and lifting? And I think it took me a year to recognize that this was not a workout. This was not necessarily exercise. This was something very different. It was deeper, more essential. This wasn't about my heart rate. This wasn't about actually even how many miles. It was acknowledging that the natural world was an essential component of making me feel well, honestly. So I think it was 2 years until I stopped hearing those little voices in my head that said, what do you mean you're just going for a walk? I mean, come on. that's not who you are. And then I gradually began to understand, yeah, it is who I am. And the thing about going for a walk is there's no physical stresses and strains, really. And so I started to think, oh my gosh, I could do this for the rest of my life. and not bump into injury. That's really mostly been true. So I think the idea of it being a practice showed up probably about 5 years in. And I think that was about the time when meditation practice or a yoga practice was having more sort of, there was more conversation about it in media and amongst friends. And I began to think, oh my gosh, what I'm doing is an equivalent. It's the same thing. It is relief for the mind. It is soothing to the spirit. It is moving the body in a way that acknowledges our ability to move, which I think is very much a yoga practice. And a seated practice is very much about, you know, being true to what's happening in your mind and attending to your thoughts. So I would say the first 2 years took me a while to get over myself and my ego of being an athlete. And by about year five, I recognized that it was a budding practice. And I started to adopt that language. People often ask, what is one of your most memorable walks? And that happened probably around year 8 or 9. And that is when I walked all night. And I walked all night after having received some news that was very challenging and disrupting and made me feel really unsafe and really uncertain about what was coming down the path next. And I knew that after receiving that information that I could go home and crawl into bed and maybe pick up the phone and talk to a friend who would I knew would usher me through that evening. And then I got home and I realized really what I needed to do was put on my shoes and walk. And I was so grateful to have that experience, that practice, that certainty in going for a walk and knowing how it would make me feel and the space it held for me to show up, you know, however I was. And I thought maybe I'd do a couple of loops on that evening of my favorite loop, and I ended up just continuously walking. And it provided for me almost a blueprint or a topographical map of what I would say was grief and shock. And each walk became kind of an expression of a different emotion. So the first loop was denial, second loop was anger, next loop was rage, next loop was, you know, it was the middle of the night at this point. I was hollering at the top of my lungs. I was out so nobody would hear me. And then by the time the morning came, I would come back to my front step after each loop and just check in, do a little body scan. Where am I feeling it? How am I feeling it? Do I need, you know, a shower, a hug, a cup of tea? And every single time I got back to my front step, I thought I need to keep going. And I think that it was the truest, dearest, most loving companion I could have had on that evening. And I honestly think, I often say that by adding motion to emotion, I am able to understand what I feel. And it was through the act of walking and adding that motion to my emotions, I was able to actually recognize and understand it and not just sort of, I have a tendency to probably swallow it and tuck things in my back pockets and kind of, you know, move forward. And the ability to have that practice as my, you know, guide that night was really super powerful. The thing about going for a walk, which I think is actually transformational and profound, is that if we are able-bodied, and I do not take for granted that I am able-bodied, I do every single walk, I am grateful for the ability to do it and do it in a place that's really quite beautiful. So that is a privilege that I know is incredible. But I do think the thing about going for a walk is it is available to us. We don't need special gear. We don't need a membership. We don't need anything other than a decision to head out the door and take a walk. And it doesn't, I believe it doesn't matter how long. It doesn't matter if you do it every single day or not. My practice is the way it works for me, but that does not mean that it should be applicable to anybody else. And so I think my invitation is to anybody, my hope is that there'll be some recognition that something that is available to all of us has the profound ability. There is an opportunity for incredible transformation, for learning, for lessons, for loving the ecosystem that you're in. I think the thing that is so profound is going for a walk is a very accessible thing we can do. And I know for a fact it has the transformative capacity to really make your day better. And even if that walk is 5 minutes long. And I don't presume that a walking practice would preempt a seated meditation practice or a yoga practice. I think they can all coexist beautifully. And one of the things I often recommend is if you happen to drive to the market, park as far away as you can from the front door. And as you step out that door of your car and walk to the front door of the market, just take a big breath in and be intentional about that walk. And if you are in a city where you're taking subways, walk to the next subway stop. My belief is that that walk can have an impact on your day for the better, even if it's pouring rain, even if it's cold and icy. There is a lesson and an awareness that comes from taking that walk. So I think the combination of its transformational capacity and its accessibility is really amazing. So I would love to invite anybody to take a walk and see what can happen. I've never taken a walk that I've not been happy that I took. And that's not to say every walk is comfortable. That's not what I'm saying. There are plenty where it's rainy and cold and icy. But I've never come back inside after a walk and thought, God, I wish I hadn't done that. Every single time I've gone for a walk, I'm glad I did. I've seen something. I've bumped into somebody. I've thought of something. It's my most creative time. I often bump into friends and neighbors, see the sunrise. I get a little kink out of my shoulder. So there's all sorts of attributes that can happen. So join me.
This Morning Walk is a production of Blind Nil Audio,
produced and edited by Chris Jacobs.
If you find value and meaning in the conversations that Libby and I have, please share the show with a friend. And consider leaving a 5-star review. Comments on Apple Podcasts really help us out. When you do that, it introduces this show to a bigger audience. Thank you so much for listening.
You are wonderful. Have a great walk.
The views, information, or opinions expressed in the series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Chip and Joanna Gaines, Blind Nil Audio, nor Magnolia.